This podcast is sponsored by Symitar. Symitar joins our credit union partners to serve the needs of the modern member. We believe the role of digital is to help credit unions minimize the mundane and maximize meaningful interactions with members at their moment of need. We help credit unions reclaim their competitive advantage on service and trust in the age of digital transformation.
From the Credit Union National Association, this is the CUNA News Podcast. Credit Union People, Credit Union Ideas.
The COVID-19 pandemic has not only elevated the importance of digital services, it has made clear the limits of self-service. While sheltering at home, many members are using digital banking for the first time. Even for digital natives, the pandemic has made mundane interactions meaningful. I'm Bill Merrick, Deputy Editor for CUNA News. In this episode, Lee Wetherington, Director of Strategic Insight for Jack Henry, explains why credit unions need to make the shift from self-service to personalized digital service. Doing so will allow them to translate their people-helping-people philosophy into their digital channels. Wetherington details what a personal digital experience should look like, the technology that enables this shift, and best practices for creating a personal experience through digital channels. Lee, can you tell me about your role at Jack Henry?
Yeah, so my official title is Director of Strategic Insight, but that doesn't really convey the very weird and wonderful gig that I have, and I'll try to give it to you in a nutshell. I am a meta-analyst on a day-in, day-out basis, which means I am analyzing the analysts that are analyzing our industry. And so in that meta-analysis, I'm looking for where analysts agree and where they disagree. I find that the areas where there's no consensus much more interesting. And that's probably where I do most of my work in trying to look at data sets and research sets and connecting the dots between data sets that have not necessarily been connected elsewhere. I love being where things change fast. I love learning and trying to make sense of things and then hopefully helping others make sense of those same things. So that's my job at Jack Henry.
What issues are you addressing now with the pandemic? What's on your top of your list right now?
Yeah, so at the top of the list right now is I'm a voice in the wilderness tweaking the conventional wisdom about what digital now means in the context of the pandemic. And let me unpack that for you. So if you read any of the trades in our industry, the consensus is, of course, now that we can't be physically proximate, digital is now very much even more so here to stay than it ever was. More abstract conversations about digital transformation have now become concrete perforce. And so the conventional wisdom is that, oh yeah, gosh, we should have been paying more attention to our digital channels, building them out, having a more robust feature set. But what is not spoken out loud in that conventional wisdom is the presumption that what everybody's talking about is self-service, right? It's, wow, we should have had all of these features in there. And that's true. Those are table stakes, you know, being able to manage your money, know where you are with your money, being able to take action on what you should do with your money so that it performs better for you, so that you know, are relieved of negative money emotions that we all carry around. All of that is table stakes. But what the pandemic has really brought into stark relief, I think, is the fact that self-service is not sufficient. Typically, when we say digital in our industry, because of the evolution of technology and its application to the credit union movement, we're typically equating that to self-service. We exchange those terms. Digital is self-service, self-service is digital. But it doesn't have to be that way. And the good news is that just a couple of years ago, we saw the first instances in live production of technology being brought to bear to really make good on what is the heart of the credit union movement ethos of people helping people. That is, instead of using technology to replace people so that our members can serve themselves, using technology to be there personally for our members at the moment of need when they need us, when they reach their respective limits of self-service. Because typically almost everything that's been designed under the rubric of digital banking has been designed to the average, right? We look at the average member. They do this many bill payments a month. They have about this much in their accounts, and they, you know, on average do these things. And of course, almost nobody is average. And the thing that we're really understanding in spades now is when times get tough, when the fear factor rises among members, especially in the context of money, there's only one thing they want, Bill. And that one thing is a live, preferably local person that I know, being there at the first point of contact to resolve my concern, my fear, my question, my curiosity, whatever it may be. The good news is that that can be done in digital. Digital does not have to be reduced to self-service as we've historically reduced it. And the financial institutions now who are really making a difference and an impact are the ones who are most strategically and carefully curating that line between what we would call personalization and personal. This word personalization gets thrown around a lot in digital, which I find really unfortunate because personalization isn't personal. What I mean by that is personalization is typically just some application of a data analytics algorithm in the background, giving Bill information and context to his self-service mode that is more relevant for Bill, right? But it's not personal in so much as it doesn't connect Bill to a person when Bill reaches that limit of self-service. And that's the other thing that we've realized that we've gotten in trouble with now in the context of the pandemic is designing just to the averages does not really enable us well in moments like these, because what was conventional in terms of needs or wants in the context of money before now become exceptional. Things that used to be mundane are now really, really meaningful and really fraught with, in some cases, are we going to make it or not? Is my family going to make it to the end of this week or the end of the month or the next month or whenever this first wave of the pandemic finally releases us in some meaningful way? So the thing to take away from where we are and what we're learning is not so much that digital is really important. Of course, that's true. It's how you lever digital, both in terms of self-service, enabling self-service and personal service at the moment of need. Every single member reaches the limits of self-service at a different moment. We're also seeing that in spades now too. There are many people, as we know, and we've seen the research coming out, we've seen the numbers coming out of the digital banking vendors where usage has spiked, right? So we have a lot of members that are new to the digital channel coming in for the first time, or you have members who have used digital, but really sparingly, but now they have to deposit their first check using mobile deposit, which they've never been comfortable with before. And so in all of those situations, you have this new swath of people using digital banking channels that reach those limits of self-service much sooner than the digital banking natives do. And the question is, what do you do at that limit? And we're seeing some of the more painful results of that around the country where you have, I know I've experienced it personally, I think most of us have experienced this now, is, for instance, I'll give you an example. We try to get groceries now delivered to the house so that we minimize contact with people. Now you have even ordering online is a little bit more fraught and difficult because there is rate limiting going on. There are certain grocery stores and chains even that will limit you to ordering a certain amount of stuff at a time, right? To make sure there's enough to go around. Okay, great. And now you have these personal shoppers in the stores and they're texting you in real time, you know, well, I found this item, but I didn't find this item. Is it okay to substitute this other item? These are all extraordinary exchanges now, most of which require a person-to-person exchange to resolve in real time. And those businesses, those organizations, those chains, those grocery stores, even those restaurants that are able to personally serve those exceptional moments of need are the ones who are really thriving and are going to come out of this smelling like roses. The others that we're relying on designing to the average and just limiting ourselves to self-service in digital are really hurting already and are going to hurt more if we don't resolve those deficiencies in the digital channel.
What does a personal digital experience look like in the financial services realm?
the way it looks and feels, I'm going to say a word here. And before I say this word, I'm going to tell everyone listening to this not to think that I'm talking about what they think I'm talking about. And that word is chat, right? So everybody knows how to text. Everybody knows how to message. Most people do know how to message back and forth, et cetera. What we began to see in the wild, in our industry, beginning in October of 2018, were the first two instances of what I would call true candid conversation channels for the context of money. So if you think about chat and messaging, you know, those are unsecure channels. This is one of the other problems. When chat tried to introduce itself to money contexts, it became a nightmare. Bill, I'll give you my impression of someone reaching out to the credit union through an unsecure chat channel. Hey, I need to talk to you about my account number, and now the credit union is chatting back. Please don't give us any personally identifiable information on this insecure channel. Call this number, you know, call into our call center, or here, take this link to authenticate yourself into another medium, and then we'll begin this conversation all over again there, depending on whoever you talk to. It's probably not going to be the same person you're chatting with in this unsecure channel. All of that violates the basic expectations that members bring in any moment where they have a concern or a fear, especially in the context of money, especially in the context of a pandemic, which is causing a lot of economic insecurity. So what that looks like is the best versions of this are you are inside, already authenticated inside of digital banking. It doesn't matter whether you're on a mobile device or a tablet or on your laptop or wherever. Device doesn't matter. In fact, we've really got to do away. I think one of the things we'll see is we'll finally do away with talking about mobile banking over here and online banking over there. That really dates all of us in this industry. Facebook doesn't talk that way, right? You know, hey, Bill, well, let's get on Facebook mobile together. Nobody talks that way. You're either on Facebook or you're not. So I think we'll start talking about just digital. But if you're inside digital banking, what this looks like is I'm in, I see a balance that is now not anything anywhere near what I expected it to be. And then maybe I glance down at the last few transactions and now I see a transaction or two that is completely foreign to me. So now I am afraid. I'm already operating on, most of us are operating on thinner margins now. I'm really scared. I don't know what to do. What do I want? I want to talk to a real live, preferably local person with whom hopefully I have some continuity, who has the know-how and the competence to resolve my moment of need. So I see the weird balance, the low balance, and I see the weird transaction. I can now literally tap to start a secured, encrypted conversation with someone I know locally at the credit union. I mean, this is people helping people realized in a way that we've never fully realized it in the past. And now it just so happens we need it more than ever. And I go to a lot of board meetings and strategy planning retreats and stuff for boards. The question is, we're a little credit union. We have finite resources. How many of those resources do we dedicate to our branches? And how much do we dedicate to our digital channels, right? It's either or. It's mutually exclusive. But what I'm describing to you now is using technology to bring the people in the branch that are literally in the branch, many of them having less to do because branch traffic has slowly diminished over the last 10 years. Now those people are front and center at the moment of need inside the digital channel, talking to members who they know and who know them. You see faces and names. Most of this is not video over IP. Most of this is just like messaging and chat. I see Bill's picture. I see his profile picture. I see his name. I know Bill. Oh, good. Bill, can you please tell me what's going on with this transaction? Now, here's the thing. I don't have to describe these really sophisticated, secured conversation channels now are in their second and third generations. They are designed so that the member doesn't have to type a lot of information. So instead of saying, what's the account number and which transaction, et cetera, no, they're already inside of digital banking. They tap the transaction that is problematic or maybe perhaps fraudulent. And that's immediately attached inside of that conversational thread, the same way you would attach a picture that you want to send to your mom. So we're getting to a point, and very soon we'll be there fully, where almost any noun that you can think of inside the context of digital banking and money can be attached to a secured, authenticated conversational thread, which from a UX standpoint means that I can be completely candid from the get-go with the person that I know. So I'm in my comfort zone and I can be candid. I don't have to switch channels or be bounced around to be authenticated elsewhere. I can just have my moment of need resolved as it comes. And this is a first for the industry, not just the credit union movement, but for the banking industry more broadly. And this has only been around for the last couple of years. And there are only between 100 to 200 financial institutions out there who have started doing this kind of thing, but they are in a much better position now than they were before. Let me mention why people generally don't like video over IP connections. It's because you don't know when your moment of need is necessarily going to arise, and you're not necessarily presentable when it does. So most people like the text-based medium. Video over IP is an option for some of these solutions as we're beginning to see them evolve. And where the video option does come into play and is a preference for a member would be like what we're seeing now with these PPP loan applications. So in the credit union world, we think of how relationship-based the model is. With small businesses, it's even more intensively relational. And if you're now in a situation where you don't know whether your small business is going to make it, literally going to make it to the end of the month or the next 2 months, and you're trying to get a PPP loan application completed, figured out, submitted, facilitated, and funded, you literally want to be seeing that other human being's face at the credit union. And that we have seen in spades just in these last 3 weeks. So while in general, people don't want to necessarily be seen in their moment of need, there are some moments of need that are much more complex in which a comfort level is provided by providing that video interface.
What technology enables this personal digital experience that you talk about?
It comes in different flavors. So obviously, you need to be already authenticated, right? So that you're not having to be bounced around. It needs to be completely secured and encrypted end to end. And ideally, it needs to be core connected. So what I mean by that, instead of it just being an informational exchange between the member and someone at the credit union, it also needs to be transactional in real time. So if in the context of a conversation, the member realizes, my goodness, I need to move $500 from this account to this other ShareDraft account, they should be able to do that in the context of that channel. Let me give you another example of that. This is where all of this stuff really begins to blend beautifully to optimize the member experience. My wife and I sold our house where we once lived and bought a new house in Atlanta. And I had, for a window of a couple of weeks, more money in my checking account than I had ever had in my life, just sitting there. Well, I needed to get those funds, a lot of money, poured it over to the new mortgage holder to recast the loan. That turned out not to be an easy thing, at least for my local community financial institution. At least it wasn't clear to them exactly how that should go. I just needed this money wired, right? Oh, well, you have to come in for that. Wait, what do you mean I have to come in for that? I'm 3 hours away now. I moved away. Well, that's the way we do it here, you know? So none of the answers were working for me. But the way that kind of thing is being handled now is I could, at my moment of need, oh my goodness, I've got this big chunk of money in my checking account. I need to get that out of there right away or I'll spend it. Tap to ask a question. I'm securely connected to someone that I know. At my credit union, I say, I need to do a wire. Boom. Inside of that thread, they send me a wire form. And they can hold my hand digitally while I'm filling it out. They pre-populate what they can, and they hold my hand to correctly fill out the other fields of information in that wire, because as you know, wires are high stakes. You got to get everything, all the information right, because things can go really bad if you don't do that correctly with a wire. So they hold my hand, I populate the other fields that are open in that wire form, and I hit submit, and all of that's happening inside of a conversational thread. When I hit submit, that completed wire form that's already been vetted by the person that was helping me fill it out, now robotic process automation on the back end of the credit union takes that, through the different sign-offs that that wire needs to go through at the credit union, and then it's immediately originated out through Fedwire or whatever the case may be. So that's an example of the way this works now. Whereas before, there was pain, confusion. You mean I have to come in? Oh, no, I don't have to come in. You're going to have to mail this thing to me and or fax it to me. And my gosh, who has a fax machine anymore? And I've got to complete this and send it back to you. But wait, what's the secure way to do that? Because this has all kinds of account numbers and other personally identifiable information in it. All of that now can happen inside of that authenticated, secured, core connected, transactional, conversationally optimized chat channel inside of the context of digital banking. Those that have that capability now are just thriving. Those are the institutions on the small business side that were able to get through orders of magnitude more funding and PPP loans than some of the biggest banks in the country, by the way.
What's a good starting point for a credit union that wants to get to that point?
The first thing you want to do is you want to know the capabilities of the digital platform that you're using now. You want to know their existing capabilities. You want to know their roadmap and vision for the future and whether it incorporates anything like what I'm describing. You don't necessarily have to mimic these personal examples that I've given, but what I think ultimately every credit union in the country has to be able to meaningfully translate personal service in and through digital channels to maintain, nurture, and grow relationships. If you don't do that, it's an existential threat for a credit union with a people-centered business model. So you can't get there soon enough. But the first thing you do is an inventory. What does my digital platform offer in the way of not just self-service? This is where we can really go wrong. If you're just out there looking for a checklist of feature functions, self-service feature functions, you may or may not get this bigger thing that I'm describing that I think is the strategically the most important thing for all community financial institutions to get right going forward. So don't just look for self-service feature functions. Ask about how personal service gets translated. Ask about whether it's integrated inside of digital banking or whether it's a separate app. This is something that I've seen too. There have been some financial institutions out there who have launched a secure chat type functionality, but it's third party and or it's a completely separate app from mobile banking, which to me makes no sense whatsoever because you want to be inside and at the moment of need, most of which arise inside the context of people looking at where they are with their money, transactions that are coming in and out, checks that are being deposited, et cetera. You don't want to have to be toggling between two different apps to have a conversation about your money. So that's one thing. Number two, look to see if your digital banking platform is directly connected to the core of the credit union. Credit unions have done a really good job, even better than banks, of operating already in a real-time environment, which I think puts them in really good stead as we work our way into the advent of real-time payments and real-time everything here over the next 3 to 4 years. So you want to make sure that as a credit union, you're translating that real-time connection transactional capability inside the context of that real-time conversational channel that's sitting inside of digital banking. Those two things are really important. And if you find that you're attached to a digital platform that is not thinking this way, I would tell you that is a recipe for disaster for most credit unions because what in essence you're doing is you're trying to compete with mega banks and some of these big techs that are making forays into financial services. That's their technology philosophy, by the way. If it can be automated, automate it. Get all the human beings out of it on our side so we can reduce our costs. That is not the relationship-based business model of credit unions in the United States. So getting that right is really important. And if your digital platform doesn't see the world that way, I would say you need to start looking for digital platforms that do.
What's the potential business impact of taking this route?
This is not just for feel-good member service. This is not just for optimizing member service for the sake of optimizing member service. Being able to translate personal service meaningfully into digital channels also restores the credit union's ability to sell in the context of that service. Credit unions have, especially the smallest ones, have a really bad rap for not being able to sell. That's a misnomer, because credit unions can match their members to the next best product or service. It's just that they've typically, historically, always done that face-to-face inside the branch. So when I talk about restoring the personal service inside digital channels, that also restores this capability of recommending to that member the next best product or service for them at the moment they need it most. And so this is where credit unions can begin converting their digital channels from pure play cost centers to actually revenue generating channels. And that is absolutely fundamental for every credit union to remain viable, fiscally speaking, going forward.
Are there any other best practices you would recommend about creating a personal experience through digital channels?
I would say that what you're trying to do, my shorthand for talking about this, Bill, is you want to minimize the mundane to maximize the meaningful. All right. So the trick to that is that one person's mundane is another person's meaningful, and one person's meaningful is another person's mundane. What that dictates for digital channel evolution and transformation is that you have to have an infrastructure inside of your digital channels that allows for the limit of self-service to come really soon, really late, or maybe never. You've got to be able to accommodate all of those different psychographics and demographics that are represented in the average credit union's member base. But even inside of these conversations, like I've been describing, the secured conversations, you want to minimize the mundane aspects of that to get to the meaningful resolution. I would tell you that I think the most important digital key performance indicator today is moment of need to resolution. Historically, we've used just speed, a lot of other speed KPIs, like app launch to app usable, or app launch to balance view, or app launch to transaction view, or app launch to bill pay. Speed is really, really important. It is absolutely important. And by the way, you would be surprised how slow some of the most popular mobile banking apps in the country are. Some of the mega banks' mobile banking apps are some of the slowest in the country. And credit unions have a real opportunity to differentiate just on speed. While speed is important, the mother of all KPIs now is this moment of need to resolution. How much time elapses from the moment a member suddenly has a fear, a curiosity, a concern, to the moment that that fear, curiosity, or concern is resolved? How much time lapses? These 1 to 200 or so financial institutions who are doing what I'm describing to you, they've gotten their moment of need to resolution KPI down, in some cases, to literally under a minute. Think about what that means now in the context of a pandemic, where I called Target the other day to ask about an online order with them that suddenly it seemed like it was just lost. My wait time was 30 minutes, and I just hung up. Getting that moment of need to resolution as collapsed as possible, but even inside, to get to that, a couple of things have to happen. You can't force members to use their thumbs to begin describing problematic transactions or expect them to remember their account numbers to begin telling you what the problem is. No, if you allow them to tap the transaction or the account that's problematic, it attaches inside of the thread, and now you're fast forward to the meaningful exchange that gets you to the resolution. Those types of things are really, really important. The second phase of this, I think, going forward, Bill, and I've been really inspired of late reading Ramit Sethi, the new personal finance guru du jour, if you will. But I can summarize Ramit's entire book by saying the following. The next transformation in digital should really be about helping people automate the meaningful so that they don't have to sweat the mundane. So that means, you know, think about all of those tropes that we were given by our parents, you know, save X percent always, you know, make sure you've got an emergency fund, save $20,000 to $25,000 for your down payment on your first house, do all these things. Well, think about now starting out as a newly independent young person and being able to set up with your credit union the ability for all of that to be automated for you right out of the gate when you get that first paycheck. So that all of the big things, the biggest, scariest, most meaningful things money-wise in your life to come are actually taken care of because those big meaningful things were automated from the beginning so that you don't have to sweat the mundane. what Ramit Sethi says is this whole wave of personal finance gurus that were telling everybody, you know, to stop drinking 5 lattes every week and somehow that'll make you safe, fiscally sound, and financially secure later. He's like, no, absolutely not. Get your saving automated so that you don't think about it for the big things. If you like lattes, buy more lattes. Get as much joy out of this life as you can. If you take care of the big things, the meaningful things, you don't have to sweat the mundane. And so that's what I see as the second generation of what we're talking about now, just in terms of basic personal service being inside of digital channels.
Is there anything else you'd like to add or any other issues you'd like to address?
I'd like to end on a positive note, and that is that we have, as an industry, credit unions as a movement, have never been better positioned to make a difference in their members' lives than they do right now, this year, next year, and the year after that. I personally, and I just, again, I'm a meta analyst. I would tell you that this is not going to go away. We're not going to be back to anything like a new normal within a few months. Some would say even within the next, it might be 2 years, might be 4 years before we get to something that seems and feels like what we knew as the normal historically. And so in this interim, I think our members and folks who are not yet members of credit unions are really going to be leaning really hard on those local entities that they can trust. I think what we're already seeing inside the course of this pandemic is a return to decentralized hyper-localism, meaning that we're awakening to how important, fundamental, and elemental local economies and real relationships with real people are where you are. And that really cuts well for the credit union model, the relationship-based model. But to be able to do what we can do as a movement, we have to be using technology in ways that keep us connected to our members instead of disintermediating us from the members we're trying to serve. So understanding that digital is absolutely vital going forward, but also self-service is not sufficient. And what are you doing at those limits? Those are the biggest questions for us now and over the next few years.
Thanks for listening to the CUNA News Podcast. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play.
Symitar is your human-centered, tech-forward, insight-driven partner. Together, we advance the value and importance of credit union membership. Join the more than 800 credit unions that choose Symitar to best serve their members. Learn more at Symitar.com.